2 Kings chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Relying on God's delivering mercy amid oppressive apostasy. Last Sunday after our morning service, three members of our church, independently of one another, told me of oppression that they face in their lives from the world around them. Testimonies that are verified by media reports. The March 21st Republican American lead editorial, Merchants of Death, stated that Connecticut lawmakers have renamed the term assisted suicide as aid in dying to keep people from recoiling the idea of the killing of sick individuals who no longer wish to live, followed by a slippery slope towards duty to die. A letter by Dave Les of Waterbury in the paper claimed the mainstream media are not giving full coverage to the mass slaughter of Christians by radical Islamic jihadists, most likely because they're afraid that it might arouse the American public. The New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft is apologizing after being charged in a prostitution in Florida, a prostitution case, where officers secretly recorded him twice engaging in sex acts. This case highlights how prostitution has become a national scourge. After almost 2 years of investigating, using 19 lawyers, assisted by 40 FBI agents, analysts, forensic accountants, and other specialists, and issuing 2,800 subpoenas, 500 search warrants, and interviewing 500 witnesses, Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation team did not find President Donald Trump or members of his campaign conspired with Russia's efforts to sway the 2016 election. However, Democrats still feel the need for expanded investigations in their search for something, for anything, to use to undermine the president. Upon hearing that two former employees conspired to steal from her beauty products company, Sue Ellen Farrell admitted, "I have to be careful that possibly my judgment of the character of people around me is wrong." Paul Hughes has a story. Committee sends three toll bills to General Assembly, told how the Connecticut legislature's effort to install tolls faces so much taxpayer resistance, uncertainty abounds over whether the Democrats who dominate the legislature have enough votes in both the House and the Senate to approve of tolls. The legislature is also considering legalizing marijuana, but Stephen Malagna, in an article, The Marijuana Delusion, in the City Journal, in the spring 2019, warns that in states that have done this already, violent crime is up. It's up 3% in Washington, it's up 20% in Colorado, 21% in Oregon, and 30% in Alaska. So, if we face oppressive apostasy and seemed trapped by it in our lives, how can we hope for God's blessing? I'd like to read the passage that we have in front of us this morning that tells us about that hope, and then we'll look at it. 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. In the 15th year of Amaziah the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria, and he reigned for 41 years. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. This is obviously Jeroboam the second, who's not departing from the sins of Jeroboam the first. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath unto the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord of God of Israel, which he spoke by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-hepher. For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up or left, or any helper for Israel. And the Lord had said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam the second, the son of Joash. Now the rest of the acts of Jeroboam the second and all that he did and his might, how he warred and how he recovered Damascus and Hamath, which belongs to Judah for Israel, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Jeroboam the second slept with his fathers, even with the kings of Israel, and Zechariah his son reigned in his stead. Under King Jeroboam II's reign in Israel, apostasy abounded in the nation in ways that remarkably parallel the apostasy that we face today. Jeroboam II came to Israel's throne, and like all of Israel's kings before him, he held to Jeroboam I's religious syncretism That's the worship of God mixed with pagan elements of Jeroboam the First's golden calves. Well, apostate sin was then rampant in Israel, and the prophecies of the biblical books of Hosea and Amos, being written during Jeroboam the Second's reign, describe moral problems in Israel that were then uncannily similar to the problems that we mentioned in our sermon introduction as follows. And I'll just allude to these. Hosea chapter 6, verse 4, told how efforts of self-reformation proved to be deceptive, just like the Connecticut lawmakers' effort to replace the term assisted suicide with the words aid and dine, somehow to sanctify the idea of the killing of sick individuals who no longer wish to live, followed by a slippery slope towards the duty to die. Hosea chapter 6, verse 9, complained of priests en route to the Shechem to worship the golden calves at Bethel, how they were actually murdering people, akin to the refusal of the mainstream media to give adequate coverage to the mass slaughter of Christians worldwide by Islamist terrorists, lest it rouse the American public into action to intervene, as complained by Dave Velez of Waterbury in his letter. I believe in the nation where I grew up in Nigeria, recently there was a slaughter of, I think it was 120 Christians by Muslim extremists. So some of these people may have even been people that I knew as a child growing up, I don't know. Hosea chapter 6, verse 10 told of cult prostitution in Israel. Prostitution is so widespread in America that even the owner of the New England Patriots has himself twice been caught on tape involved in sexual acts with prostitutes in a Florida massage parlor, and he's even publicly apologized for his misbehavior. What's tragic about that is a lot of these prostitutes apparently are from China. They've been forced into prostitution. It's just a terrible situation. Hosea chapter 10, verse 4, reported on false oaths that were being taken, followed by many resulting lawsuits. And we see this in the many charges surrounding the case involved in Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation and the seemingly endless series of investigations and legal proceedings that still follow regarding the matter. Incidentally, I think that we're seeing actually prophecy being fulfilled in this, because as I understand the prophecy in Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 22 about our era, it seems that there's supposed to be a weakening of government entities and institutions in the world around us, and we're seeing that actually happening before us. That's something that is necessary, because God is beginning to allow the entire social structure to soften up. It's going to make it easier for the Antichrist to come. And then after the Antichrist comes, when Christ destroys the Antichrist, he'll have complete dominance over everything. And then he's going to start over, and he's going to reconstruct society in the Messianic kingdom that is coming up. It's an amazing thing. Hosea chapter 10, verse 13, critique the tendency of Israel's people to rely on their own understanding instead of living by faith in God. And that's reflected in the testimony of Sue Ellen Farrell, who admitted that she was wrong to rely on her own judgment of the character of her company's employees. Amos chapter 2, verse 7, complained of injustices to the poor, where the rich long to see, that is the pant after, the poor reduced to the place where dust is thrown on their heads as a sign of grief. And our legislature seeks to install tolls to milk the public out of as much money as it can to meet its huge budget. In fact, the tolls are going to change in price depending upon rush hour. If it's rush hour, the tolls will be a lot higher. If it's less, it's a lot less. Amos chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, told of women who oppressed the poor and indulged in wine. And our lawmakers are thinking of legalizing marijuana, what has been shown to increase violent crime against the public in other states. And on top of that, marijuana also harms the health in various ways. So, nevertheless, in mercy, God had compassion on Israel's oppressed apostate people. So regardless of the nation's involvement in religious syncretism, the Lord gave Israel relief from oppression. In verse 26, it says, "For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel that was very bitter, and there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel." We have to retranslate that verse. It's not that clear. The Hebrew text at verse 26 describes the dire oppression of Israel's apostate people. The particle of negation, epez, meaning cessation, occurs twice. It occurs before the word imprisoned, that's the Hebrew word asur, and also before freed, the Hebrew word azuv, to clarify how every slave and every free man had ceased to avoid being oppressed. The picture here is you have this creeping oppression coming upon the entire society, and eventually it gets to the point where everybody, whether you're a free man or you're a bond man, it catches up with you and you're sucked under the oppression. You try to get away from it, but eventually it gets you. And that's a pretty good picture of what's happening in society today. And there was no ozer, there's no helper. Notice the play on words. You have Ashur, Azub, and Ozer. It's very poetic. So Israel faced a crisis of hopelessness. And I've heard many talk show hosts and newspaper editorials often claim about our country in our day that it is a nation that is fast becoming a nation of hopelessness. And in fact, it's getting to the point where some of these conservative talk show hosts are actually themselves giving up. It's amazing. Well, God had compassion on his people, and he did not say that he would blot out Israel's name in judgment. So he used even godless King Jeroboam II to help them. That may be a pretty good idea of what's happening today. God in grace many times can use even godless officials, officials who are not really even in good character. It's amazing how he can use them even to help his people. God had Jonah, whom he had sent to Nineveh. Remember, Jonah was the guy that swallowed by the fish and so forth, because at first he didn't want to go to Nineveh. But God had that same prophet, Jonah, whom he'd sent to Nineveh, to predict that Jeroboam II would restore Israel's border. Now, Jonah, incidentally, lived in Gath-Hepher, which is only about 7-8 miles northeast of Nazareth, where Jesus later would come. So he was from Galilee. Well, God then fulfilled this prophecy, and he displayed his great mercy for the people of Israel as follows. First, the Lord arranged for Israel's Gentile oppressors, the Arameans, that's to the north, and the Assyrians to the north of them, to become weakened. Israel's Aramean enemies immediately to the north of Israel's border were weakened by attacks from the Assyrians to their northeast under King Adad-nirari III. Yet the Assyrians themselves were also weakened, suffering from the threat of attack from the Urartu people to their northern frontier. And they were also weakened by internal division and from a series of weak rulers. Only God could do this. You know, Israel was fairly weak at this particular time, but to give his people respite, he decided to weaken all the neighbors around him so that they would not fight Israel, and that's exactly what happened. Then, with this power vacuum in her oppressive Gentile neighbors, Israel saw God mercifully use Jeroboam II's administrative skills that he had learned from his father Jehoash to lead his modest army to recover Israel's territory that had been lost to the Arameans. And this land stretched from Lebo Hamath, which is 150 miles northeast of the Sea of what we call Galilee today, and then south to the Sea of the Plain, that is to the Dead Sea. That border of Israel had been lost. Solomon had acquired this border, going way up there to Lebo Hamath, up near the Euphrates River, and then down all the way to the Dead Sea. This is the nation Israel. Of course, it doesn't cover the nation Judah, which is south of that. But they recovered all that territory during this time. And it was a time of great peace, even though the nation was very, very apostate and separate from God. God was just showering his goodness upon the people of Israel because he felt sorry for them. They weren't good. They weren't even repenting. And they had a king who was into syncretism. But God in his mercy said, I'm going to treat these people with great kindness. Amazing. And for liberal theology to say that the God of the Old Testament is not a God of compassion, they haven't read the Old Testament. God is a great God of compassion in both the Old Testament as well as the New. So the lesson is, when everyone in apostate Israel, whether bond or free, suffered from great oppression, and there was no spiritually qualified human deliverer to help, the Lord mercifully weakened Israel's oppressors and enabled even ungodly Jeroboam II to use his administrative skills to recover Israel's lost land and to give the people relief. So, may we trust in Christ for salvation from sin. In facing oppressive apostasy today, may we rely on the Lord, who mercifully gave the helplessly oppressed people of Israel in Jeroboam II's reign relief from some oppression, to come to our aid that we might live productive lives for him, even in our evil era. The Lord mercifully demonstrated his relief to one of the men in our church. I'm going to keep his name in private if he wants it to be private. He went to a pharmacy a few years ago to pick up a prescription that a specialist had called in for him. When he got to the pharmacy, the pharmacist, a woman with an accent indicating she was of European heritage, and the man's never seen this woman since, she asked him if she could speak with him alone. So he heeded her hand signal that he follow her over to a side counter. And there she asked him, "Do you know what this drug will do to you if you take it?" She then warned him about the drug that she was about to sell him. I've never heard of this before. The man waited to ingest the drug until he got a second physician's opinion, and the second doctor echoed the pharmacist's warning and then some. The man is now very relieved that he did not ingest the drug. In retrospect, he believes the Lord worked in the heart of that woman pharmacist of Eastern European heritage to warn him as a protective guard in his behalf when he was completely vulnerable to undesirable harm and was totally unaware of it. You know, it's amazing. Here's a person from another country who's come over and was very concerned about this man taking this particular drug, and so she wanted to warn him. So may we trust in Christ for salvation. And then may we rely on the Lord mercifully to come to our aid when we helplessly face oppression today, that we might live for him in blessing, even in our apostate era. I wonder sometimes if the Lord isn't allowing things to get tough, if he isn't allowing situations to arise, because what he wants to do is to get us to trust him and to rely upon him. May we do so. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you grant us to heed your word. We ask, Father, that we would pay attention to it and that we would see you, by trusting in you, mercifully help us out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.